Radio Prague News.
Parliamentary representatives from the Visegrad 4 countries attended a meeting at the Štiřín Chateau outside Prague on Thursday. The Czech branch of the Russian-based oil firm Lukoil has to pay a fine of nearly 28 million crowns to the State Administration of Material Reserves. And one-time Czech Prime Minister Josef Tošovský caused a car accident near the US city of Washington a week and a half ago. Parliamentary representatives from the Visegrad 4 countries, Poland, the Czech Republic, Slovakia and Hungary, attended a meeting at the Štiřín Chateau outside Prague on Thursday. After the meeting, they again criticized the idea of compulsory refugee quotas for European Union states. According to the Hungarian parliament leader, it is an attempt to federalize Europe, while the head of the Czech parliament said it was an excess which will hopefully not be repeated in the future. The Czech branch of the Russian-based oil firm Lukoil has to pay a fine of 27.7 million crowns to the State Administration of Material Reserves, a board of appeal decided on Wednesday. The case goes back to 2009, when the firm reportedly failed to replace part of 30,000 cubic meters of aviation fuel. The Czech branch of Lukoil is headed by Martin Nejedlý, chief advisor of President Miloš Zeman. Mr. Zeman said earlier he would consider firing him depending on the court verdict. One-time Czech Prime Minister Josef Tošovský caused a car accident near the U.S. city of Washington a week and a half ago, the news website Aktuálně.cz reported. Mr. Tošovský, who headed a caretaker cabinet for 6 months in the latter half of the 1990s, is facing reckless driving charges after his Ferrari crashed into three cars on the Georgetown Pike in Virginia. A passenger in his car and two people in the other vehicles suffered minor injuries. The news was confirmed by the Financial Stability Institute in Basel, which the 65-year-old banker heads. Hospitals' directors should deal with the problem of doctors working excessively long hours, the Czech Minister of Health, Svatopluk Němeček, told the Czech news agency. He said his ministry wished to help resolve the problem by increasing the number of medics at hospitals. Mr. Němeček's comments came after the Czech Doctors' Trade Union called on him to produce a plan to deal with the overtime issue by mid-June. The union says that if the legal limit of 416 hours of overtime a year was adhered to, there would not be enough doctors to serve patients. The average price of apartments in the Czech Republic in 2015 increased by 6% on average year-on-year, according to a survey carried out by Deloitte. The average price per meter was 41,800 crowns. The most expensive apartments were sold in Prague, while the cheapest apartments could be found in Ústí nad Labem region. Last year, the overall sales of apartments amounted to 70 billion crowns, which is a 15% increase on the previous year. I'm Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, is it the end of the road for the Okade Mining Company? And a father fights for his rights after being made to pay for being present at the birth of his child. Later on in Marketplace, the government's take on the transatlantic trade and investment agreement. All that ahead, so do please stay with us. The end game now appears to be playing out for the Czech Republic's biggest hard coal mining company, Okade. Key shareholders have warned that if there is no deal fast with the government, then insolvency procedures might be started by the end of the week. Meanwhile, the government appears to be taking a tough line against a deal with those calling the shots at the mining company. Chris Johnson reports.
Okade, the biggest and last major hard coal mining company in the Czech Republic, is clearly approaching a decisive crossroads. The company still employs just under 10,000 workers and is the biggest employer in the Moravia-Silesia region, and there are thousands of other jobs linked to the mining company. But hopes for a soft landing scenario between the current owners and the government that would keep the mines going for a few more years appear to be fading fast. Relations between the government and owner of the mining company, New World Resources, or rather the core shareholders there, who have most at stake under a previous salvage operation, the so-called ad hoc group, have seriously soured in the last days. Minister of Industry and Trade Jan Mladek was blunt at the start of the week, saying that the government would be stupid to accept an offer to buy up the company for just under 4 billion crowns. He added that its current value is far lower than that. Within hours, New World Resources warned it could be forced to press for insolvency procedures by the end of Friday and the closure of the mines unless a new cash injection is ensured or a rescue deal with the government is sealed. The Orkaidea situation was due to be discussed by the government on Wednesday, with Minister Mladek later scheduled to meet President Miloš Zeman to talk about it. The president has been talking up the possibility of nationalisation. Roman Parek is spokesman for the ad hoc group, and he echoed the mining company's warning that an unmanaged insolvency could be a social and economic time bomb for the region.
It means that the mining could end easily, and also if it will be done in the wrong way, so in the mining holes and ways will concentrate the methane, the water, and in few weeks it will be impossible to send anybody into it to maintain the mining machine to mining the coal. So it's totally different when you are closing the factory of cars or pens or something like that.
And he warns that nationalisation that's being discussed could send exactly the wrong signals to international investors.
And it's really bad news for the investors and also the foreign investors who are in the Czech Republic or wants to go here. It will also attach on the rating of the Czech Republic, and it will also make pressure to the Czech crowns. We've seen that if it's in this way, we are coming back into the communist era in the 50s. And unfortunately, on the table are two possible solutions, which doesn't need nationalization or insolvency. But we didn't get any answer from the Czech government.
Roman Patík, spokesman for Ad Hoc Group, ending that report by Chris Johnson. Now, moving on to family matters. Fathers in the Czech Republic will no longer have to pay to be present at the birth of their child, the Constitutional Court has ruled. Until now, some hospitals charged fees ranging between 300 to 1,000 crowns, and others none at all. Following the ruling, hospitals will only be able to charge for above standard conditions. The court considered the matter after a hospital in Chomutov charged a man 500 crowns for being present at his child's birth. Jan Wellinger spoke to Lukáš Talpa of the League of Open Men, supporting men's values and rights, and began by asking him about the decision and the situation until now.
The situation up until now was that the fathers or the relatives in some hospitals had to pay for having a chance to participate at the delivery of a baby. Some hospitals, they allow it for free already, but there were like around 20 hospitals still asking for a fee from fathers.
Some of the fees were quite high as well. I know as a father myself, I had to pay 1,000 crowns. Do you think that the way that some hospitals operated until this ruling, that it was unethical?
Well, I would say yes. Actually, I have the same experience as you just described. I have two daughters, and with the first daughter, I paid also the fee. And then they decided that the baby will come through the Sika. And they didn't allow me to take part, so I paid the fee and didn't have a chance to be there. So I would say, yeah, it was unethical. Especially, you know, it was just strange that some hospitals asked for the fee, and the fee was different from the hospital to the hospital, and some hospitals didn't ask for the fee. This is also unethical too.
Mm-hmm. The father who sued, it was a case where the gentleman in question paid 500 crowns to be present at the birth of his child.
Yeah.
Back in 2011, that was at a hospital in Chomutov. A good many of us probably faced with the fee just shrugged and said, okay, I'll pay it. It's, you know, the birth of my child, whatever. Do you think that he set a good example by taking the matter as far as the Constitutional Court? What kind of example do you think he set?
Well, he's definitely a very positive example. He's just thinking through the situation he's in. In my case, you know, I just didn't even think that it could be unethical. I just see it, you know, that everybody is paying it, and then it's probably normal to pay it. So definitely he's a good example of, you know, being responsible as a citizen of the Czech Republic.
And it's not a question of necessarily just the money, is it?
Well, definitely it's not about just the money. It's about, you know, us as a citizens to take the responsibility and to be brave to fight if we see that there are some things unethical or, let's say, illegal, or just be brave to go to the court and ask. Because he was risking that he, in the end, he will have to pay the court fee, the legal fee. So, yeah, he was brave and he was willing to the fight.
Lukáš Talpa of the League of Open Men speaking there to Jan Wellingen. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature, Marketplace, with Chris Johnston.
Around 2 weeks ago, we reported on how various Czech groups were putting pressure on the Czech government regarding its stance over the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Agreement, TTIP, the deal aimed at paving the way for what might amount to the biggest free trade zone in the world between the EU and US. The groups were asking for more information about the deal and undertakings that basic European rules and regulations would not be watered down in a drive towards common standards. Although far from a reply, a study by independent experts for the Ministry of Industry and Trade has been released this week, which aims to put some figures on the possible benefits of the trade deal. The deputy minister at the ministry most involved in the trade talks, Vladimir Bartol, says many of the groups opposing TTIP have misunderstood its goals. He says some of the Czech sectors which stand to benefit most are the car-making, engineering, pharmaceutical, chemical and food sectors. As regards the study, Bartol admits that its assumptions have been pretty broad, as it's trying to get to grips with a work that is very much still in progress.
First of all, it has to be said that this study, it's unusual that we are actually asking to make a study when the final text is not done. But considering that the TTIP is it's an initiative which is different than other FTAs, for many reasons we have decided to conduct and ask for such a study. So, and also we have to say that this is an independent study. It's not a position paper for the Czech Republic. So, for example, about the scenarios, we have to say that since we don't really know what will be the final text, and also that at the moment the ties between EU and USA are quite intensive, still there are duties, and in most area of industries they reach a low level. But there is still effort to decrease them further, and this is a main goal for the interest parties. But what we see as a crucial potential in the TTIP, that's searching agreement on elimination of non-tariff barriers to trade. And you can understand that effects of removing non-tariff barriers cannot be simply calculated at the moment, because it's really hard to estimate the amount of cost savings. So the group of authors who made the study, impact study, they worked with scenarios about the elimination of duties about 90%, then the complete elimination duties, then the complete elimination duties, and at the same time decrease of costs for 5% based on non-tariff barriers, elimination of non-tariff barriers. And the last one is the complete elimination duties, at the same time decrease of costs about 20% as a consequence of elimination of non-tariff barriers.
And how does that, in the best scenario, how would that translate into growth, GDP growth for the Czech Republic, increases in wages, improved balance of trade? What's the most optimistic scenario?
Okay, the most optimistic scenario, which is the one of the complete elimination duties and at the same time 20% saving costs based on elimination of non-tariff barriers, is about plus $900 million per year, and it's about slightly less than 1% of GDP. We have to look at that. This is not a one and only effect. This is the continuation effect. This is the effect every year. So obviously, we also have to look at that. I mean, the interpretation of the impact study, we have to look at also that we, as a part of the EU, we will always benefit from other member states of EU and their positive impact. So this is another quite difficult task to estimate the amount of, you know, of this savings and benefits.
So the study just deals with the direct result for the Czech Republic. I mean, if Germany grew by the same amount, I mean, obviously Czech exports to Germany might increase, but this doesn't look at that. It's just the direct effect on the Czech Republic. Yes.
There are some kind of simulation also for this like domino effect, but this is really hard to calculate it. We have to also look at these models. They work with historical data, and there's limited space to judge what will be the future, because at the moment for us the volume of trade between Czech Republic and United States is quite low if you look at the volume as such. But if you look at the added value trade based on TIVA, then for us the United States are key destination, and they have like a 6% of added value, and they are just behind Germany on the second position together with France and Italy. So this is something which is unknown, you know. So again, the collective of authors who made the impact study, they had really difficult task to do, as there are many, many unknown.
How realistic do you think it is to expect that this deal will be done by the end of the year, or by the time that Barack Obama leaves office in the United States? And is it realistic to expect, I mean, there are many differences between European and United States laws and regulations covering everything. And if we're talking about harmonization, is it realistic to expect that so much might be harmonized? And many people have the impression that if things are harmonized, these non-tariff barriers, then it might be Europe that will give more away than the United States.
This is a typical mistake, because in TTIP we are not look at the harmonization. We are just trying to identify the areas where the regulatory cooperation could exist based on existing level. For example, let's take the automobile industry and the passive and active safety features. So in both sides of the Atlantic, there is aim to have the highest possible safety regulation, but it's different. So let's only just look at that, what is possible to take as a similar, as an equal level, and then cooperate maybe or better inform each other when they create a new regulation. But it doesn't mean that we take the lowest standard and we will harmonize for both entities. That's not going to work. And EU and Commission and Member States several times expressed that they actually are not going to accept that at all. So no one wants that. The public doesn't want that. Company doesn't. They don't want that. So it's not about the harmonization. About the question about the timing, it's true that today they started the 13th round in New York, and it will take the whole week this week. And we have to say that the frequency of meeting the top negotiators are increasing. And in last 5 months, the commissioner for trade, Malmström, met her counterpart from USTR 7 times, and they really aim to solve the sensitive areas like regulatory cooperation. We will see, I think, before the summer break how we go, because I don't think it's impossible, but we still don't have In some areas we don't have a vault, so it's not possible to build a roof. And Czech priority for a long time is that we want a quality and ambitious agreement, and the speed is not for us that important. So we will see, before the summer break will be another round, the 14th round, so we will look at that. And I don't think it's impossible, but again, we have to look at that, even if it's finalized by the end of Obama's administration. We can expect that the new administration might look at some chapters and ask them to reconsider.
I mean, some people say that if it's not more or less settled by the end of the Obama administration, then you're looking at a delay of 2 or 3 years, partly also due to elections in France and Germany, but mainly if for the new American administration to get to terms with it. So do you think that might happen?
This is really hard to predict. Any elections, any change of government, the same as in the U.S., so in some big member states of the EU, might have a slightly shifting the priorities. But I think that at the moment, and I'm as a full member in Trade Policy Committee for the Czech Republic in something like 2 years, and I see that really, really concentrated effort of the member states to facilitate and support the Commission, who's got the mandate for the negotiation. So, of course, we cannot really say it's impossible, but I don't see shifting dramatically from the will that we want, ambitious, balanced and comprehensive deal.
Deputy Industry and Trade Minister Vladimir Bartl ending that edition of Marketplace, and it brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.